Before we get too far into this, thank you to the folks at Racetech, racetech.com, service centers all across America, and privateer proven out there. And they do big things for you, whether it's motors or suspension, racetech.com. Tell them you listen to Pulp to get a discount. Get your bike suspension serviced. It's November now, so good time to whip off the fork and shock and get the oil changed, new seals, new bushings, get the right spring rate dialed in for your weight and or speed. Racetech.com will do it. They'll give you a discount if you tell them you listen to Pulp. All right, on to the show.
Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication to your frustration. Is it really some of the planners and giving it all?
Welcome, everybody, to another Fly Racing Racer X podcast. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. FlyRacing.com. I don't know if you heard the news. Cooper Webb, Fly Racing rider now. Yeah, multi-year deal he signed with those guys. And from head to toe, they've got you covered. The Formula helmet's amazing. And all the gear lines from the F16 all the way to the Evo. They got colors. They got styles. They got different fits. And check it out, flyracing.com. And the best part is, if you go there, if you use the code PULPMX at flyracing.com, you can save money. So you can directly get it from Fly. Use the code and save. Thank you to Fly Racing for coming on board. And, of course, I used Fly Racing gear to propel myself to six finishes at the World Vet Championships between 13th or between 12th and 19th. So if you're looking for Fly Racing to get right in that 12th to 19th position, might be the gear for you. Use the code FLY, PulpMax, I should say, to check out. Thank you to the folks at Renthal and Maxxis as well for coming on board this podcast. Maxxis Tires, Fast Freddie Norin using Maxxis this past year. Cade Clayson as well, putting in Supercross made events, putting inside the top 10 in motos with Freddie. Maxxis.com, great mountain bike tires, of course. You know that. Light truck tires, trailer tires, and the motocross tires developed by some guy named McGrath. So I think he knows what he's doing. So thank you to Maxxis Tires. We'll tell you more about Renthal later on in this show, but it's been a while since us three got together and did a pod, and it's middle of November, so why not a good time to sort of go through the 2025 Supercross schedule, the venues, the races, the highs, the lows, all of that going on for the Monster Energy Supercross Series in 2025. And first up from Fly Racing, flyracing.com, sitting right across from me in the studio, it's the Jason Thomas. What's up, JT?
Not much. It has been it's been a minute. I'm excited. It feels like this is the first step towards 2025. Like, okay. I know we're not there. Yeah. I know we got a long way to go. We'll have silly season. We'll have Supercross preview videos on RacerX Online. But this feels like the first step of that.
All right. Fantastic. And also on the line to join us from RacerX Online, the voice of the series, the voice of the sport, really. The heavy burden that he has, the Jason Wygant.
Yeah.
What's up, Weege?
We're back.
Yeah.
We're back. Yep.
We'll do a Supercross preview at some point.
Yep. That'll be December.
Weege, which rider are you going to anger this year? Do you know yet?
It's going to be real tough, man. It's going to be real tough. But Chase Sexton, maybe he doesn't get in. Maybe he doesn't get in show one. Do we go back to that?
Hey, man. It's on you.
Eli Tomac, where are we at?
Yeah, man. If you want to deal with John, go ahead.
Yep. I know your answer. Just put everybody in show one. I know that's your answer. Just put them all in there.
I think I know which guy's not getting in show one. I think I already know. And I think he's Fly Racing's latest rider.
Really? Webb?
Yeah, I think he does that.
I don't know.
He got second in the championship. Second in the championship, and you think
he's Lawrence the biggest challenge of anyone else.
Listen, I'm not saying it.
Think that Cooper Webb's not getting in as the second in points last year.
If you go off Wygant and the fact that he usually leaves one rider off every single year,
Because you want me to put five guys in a three-rider show, how am I supposed to not leave somebody off?
Why does it need to be a three-rider show? What's is there some sort of decree from Jesus?
Like, at least 30 high. Times. Because then no one watches the other episodes. They're like, thank you, that's all I need.
Well, we'll see. We'll see, man, because should be interesting.
Just put them all in one, and then we'll just run a blank screen.
What if you...
No,
what if,
Chiz can have a standalone show.
What if you staggered them and you had one title contender to lead off the start of each show, and then you went tiers after that?
Well, I'm glad you actually stumbled onto that, because I used to do it by themes. It was like there was just a Reed Stew show, and there was like a RV Dunn show. But then the other gentleman on the line, just no matter what, just assumed this was always power rankings.
I've never had that experience. I've never had an experience where you can't do anything right.
So I'd be like, well, I'm just putting Reed and Stew in their own show. They'll be show three. And he's like, oh, they're the third tier now. And I'm like, they're not tiers. So I just can't.
They're usually tears for me.
Take it up with the riders that you seem to anger each and every year. It's not me. It's the riders. They make these snide comments. You've been getting shit from Webb for a year and a half. Sexton made it known more than a few times.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's not me.
Yeah, the Webb Sexton thing is great because it was Sexton was mad that Webb was in show one, and then Webb was mad that Sexton was in show one the next year. So it's literally the same two guys.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, good luck.
And if you look at them the last 2 years, they've been almost dead even in points.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to seeing who you piss off. My vote is Webb, but maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. But yeah.
Nah, Webb is second in the series. You can't do that.
Yeah, but
I mean, he's tied in points with five races ago.
I know, but I can make compelling reasons why Weege would do that.
Compelling to you.
So this is the 2025 Supercross schedule preview show. That's it. First annual. Going to go through the schedule and talk about the different rounds, talk about the highs and the lows, reasons to go, reasons to not go, venue, amenities, flights, rental cars. So many things go into this. We've all been traveling this series for a long time now. And so maybe what we think is good or bad is not what you think is good or bad. I do know Wygant and JT as well. I get hit up all the time. Which venue should I go to? Where should I go? What race should I go to? You know, either if you're an Aussie or if you're in the UK or Canadian, oftentimes fans try to plan around the series, the schedule. So maybe we'll try to help them.
Yeah, and obviously this is excluding the obvious of where you live has a factor on how easy it is to get to some of these races. So just please, we don't know where every single person lives is listening to it. So just understand that it would be easier to drive to Foxborough if you live in Massachusetts than get to California.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you can't have a bucket list. I've always wanted to go to Anaheim. Is it worth it?
Well, let's start that off on the Fly Racing Racer X podcast. Anaheim 1. This is the race to go to every year. That is just the default. If you can make it to one race, go to Anaheim 1. Are we all in agreement with that?
Oh, I thought it was Daytona.
Boy. Oh, you're starting early, huh? Starting early. Now, if you can't make it to Anaheim 1, then the next race you should make it to will vary, and we have different opinions and all that. But just right off the top, there's nothing like Anaheim 1. Everyone is mostly healthy. You don't quite know what's going on. Oftentimes, it produces a great race. And, you know, you do have the weather involved as well. And, you know, strictly from a selfish point of view, the Anaheim 1 press box, not the greatest to go in for the media. But, yeah, generally, Anaheim 1 JT is the one to go to.
Yeah, and it's weird because if you look at Anaheim 1 on the surface, everything that you said is true. But it's so funny, we rarely get a great race at Anaheim 1. We the battles don't really take shape. We don't get the storyline we think we're going to get. We get, historically, we kind of get oddball results. And there are lots of reasons for that. I think it's championship pressure and expectation, and guys just want to get through the first one without setting themselves too far back. So it's a weird one to say it's the best one because the racing oftentimes doesn't support that, but as far as atmosphere, weather, the epicenter of American, you know, supercross racing, it's really hard to say it's not A1.
Yeah, you're going into Orange County, Southern California. Again, we've had some mudders and some crappy weather, but for the most part, weathers are great. And if you are bringing your family, you got Disneyland, you got the beaches, you know, it's Southern California. Yeah.
Yeah, and depending on if you've never done this before, that is the mecca of the industry. Now, it's not quite as simple as it sounds to, you know, do a tour to Southern California. You can always go to Pro Circuit. I think some people recommend, you know, Troy Lee. But it's not like, unfortunately, you can't just walk into the KTM race shop and just shake hands with Carlos and Roger DeCoster. You can't really go to the test tracks per se.
I would argue that you could. You just may leave under different conditions.
Yeah, listen, I'm telling anybody who's listening right now, go to Honda. Tell him you want to see Lars. He'll show you the button. And
you're definitely not getting into Honda. That place is under lock and key.
Tell him Pulp MX
sent you. You're not getting into Honda.
Lars would be down. Lars would give anybody an interview. So
he would.
It could be. Just say you got a podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But you know, everybody, this is a small sport. Everybody has a connection or thinks they have a connection or thinks they're somebody. You never know what you might be able to do. That's the only bummer, because I feel like if you've never been there, you'd be like, man, while I'm there, I would love to see all this stuff I know that's going around. But you really can't. It doesn't mean, yes, with Disneyland and going to the beach over there in Orange County, there's some really cool things to see. But I feel like any fan would be like, damn it, I would love to see the last minute prep. Well, you really can't.
Yeah. Listen, I still see fans. I get photos on social. Fans make it out to the test tracks, and they sneak around.
They can't stop them from...
Yeah. That's what I mean. Right. There's some way.
Right. Yeah, and you can sit on the side of I-15 and watch Cali guys all day. If you want to watch Jorge Prado, once that all goes official, sit right there.
Right.
CHP might not like it, but you can do it.
couple of down points here. Again, press box location, not great for Anaheim, stuck in the corner a little bit. Split start this year, which is cool. They're bringing that up for the opener. That's kind of neat. Also, Anaheim Stadium food. No, not good. JT, this doesn't apply to you.
No, what do you mean? But I went to Anaheim for 7 years after racing I was of you.
Where did you eat?
I struggle. I'm going with your point. Like, I had a really hard time.
Yeah. Food's not great, man. You know, so we'll get into further stadiums. And I mean, we're just going to say the pricing's not good at any of these venues.
Yeah.
No.
But no, he said. No. But food's not great at Anaheim Stadium. But there are restaurants all over the place around there. And it's really nice to go there.
You can stay. You can walk. You can get a hotel that is within walking distance. It's another huge upside. Mm-hmm. I don't know. These are the things that we're going to kind of cover race to race. It's not always about is the racing great or is the stadium or I guess the track as good. This is more of all the other things around it, which I think are going to make the weekend better or worse.
And on the southwest corner of the stadium, there's a Del Taco there. If you go after the race, you probably will find some teams and riders going through the drive-thru. That's the famous Del Taco where Jeff Ward was when Anaheim 86 kicked off. And he said he was in Del Taco drive-thru and he could hear the roars of the stadium.
Where was he? Why was he there?
He didn't qualify for the main.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
Yeah. So a little bit of history there, Weege. You can go to Del Taco right there.
Yeah, that is an all-time story. The good thing about the stadium is most stadiums these days are divided into two tiers. There's the older stadiums that are kind of like suburban and they just got a giant parking lot, but then they tend to be a little away from everything, but it's kind of convenient to get in and out, which is nice. Anaheim is one of the older ones, but it's almost the best of all worlds. It's not like you have to drive downtown and really fight that or figure out parking. Mm-hmm. There's just parking there. They charge an exorbitant amount, but stadiums are stadiums. But yes, you can walk to other things, which you can't do in some of the more remote ones. So it's kind of the best of all worlds. Mm-hmm. And maybe each one we can denote here. If a stadium is a downtown stadium or what I call a suburbs stadium. Mm-hmm. This is definitely more suburbs, old school.
Yep. All right, next one, next week, is San Diego Snapdragon Stadium. I think it's third or fourth year into this thing. It's an MLS stadium. We've had Qualcomm, we've had Petco, we've had Snapdragon. JT, rank them.
Qualcomm, and you have to understand, Qualcomm and Snapdragon are basically the same spot. So Snapdragon replaced Qualcomm in a lot of ways, not necessarily on the football level.
No, that doesn't mean it. I'm just saying rank them for your favorites.
Yes, it does.
Rank them
because
for your
the reasons that Qualcomm were great also apply to Snapdragon, being a little bit out further. You can have the pits, you can have parking, you can tailgate, you can have these great activation. All those things were the upside of Qualcomm versus Petco. Well, now we have that again with Snapdragon with a brand new stadium. So this is an upgrade, but it shares a lot of the benefits that Qualcomm had. Ease of all the restaurants are right there, all the hotels are right there. You can jump on and off the 15. There's a million different reasons why Qualcomm was better than Petco for convenience. Now, what you're missing from Petco is Gas Lamp District, which was really cool. Like, you could stay right there, walk around, like literally walking back and forth from the stadium. There's a bar restaurant scene, which is the Gas Lamp for those who haven't been there. Proximity to the ocean, like the pier and marina and all that, was literally, I don't know, 200 yards from the stadium. So there is some upside of that. But yeah, it's a downtown area where Petco is. There's a homeless situation you're always kind of battling. The pits are terrible. Probably the worst pit situation of the year was Petco. Split pits, like not even together, roads separating them. Like, it was a complete nightmare.
Can you just rank them?
No.
Okay. Weej, can you rank them?
Yeah, I'm going to go with...
I thought I was doing fine.
First of all, good job, JD. That really illustrated that downtown versus suburb stadium thing I was talking about. Petco was both awesome and terrible at the same time. It was a beautiful stadium, beautiful view, great things to see in this like downtown area, but such a pain to get to. And then for the teams and the pits, really, really bad. This one is back where Qualcomm was. There's plenty of room. There's plenty of pits, easy to get in and out. But yeah, you're at the stadium. You're not walking to anything. I will put Qualcomm on my rankings as number one. I mean, it's in the same exact spot as Snapdragon, so that's a wash. Like, they literally built this one in the same venue. But to me, that one was such a huge building. We used to get monstrous crowds back then. This
it
is
was
in the
big,
days where
yeah.
Was, yeah, when Supercross was getting 70,000 people. And I don't know, there was just so much history there, I think, dating back to other races we're going to get to, like Indy, for example, is a really big race these days. But back in like the early days of the sport, like the SoCal races were it. That's where the crowd was. And Qualcomm had that history to it. So Qualcomm's still my favorite, but it's literally
plus,
rubble now.
You can throw a football around in the pits.
That was a bit. Well, I guess we could do that again.
Yeah. Yeah. Snapdragon. You could do that again.
Snapdragon's nice, but it's not. It's like a tier. Like you said, it's an MLS stadium. It's not in the realm of going to some of these great NFL or MLB stadiums. To me, it's just a little off as far as it's not quite as nice.
I'll go.
Or as big. Yeah.
I guess I'm the only one that will actually rank them. Everyone else is scared. No, you didn't say two or three.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So I'll go. I'm actually going to go Qualcomm, it. Petco, and then Snapdragon.
That's my ranking. Exactly. Absolutely.
Okay. Qualcomm, Snapdragon, yeah. Petco?
Nope.
Oh, really?
Qualcomm, Petco.
Oh, Snapdragon. Really? See, I would put Snapdragon 1.
Yeah.
Well,
the pits drag down Petco.
Petco
big time.
2, Qualcomm 3.
Qualcomm 3.
Qualcomm was a terrible stadium. Like, do you remember how beat down it was?
Oh,
at the end?
Yeah, but I mean.
I mean, are we talking about 1988 Qualcomm?
The views of the press box were great at Qualcomm. The dirt was great.
Which Qualcomm are we talking about?
Well, just Qualcomm. Just Qualcomm.
That's not how. Well, not really the same thing, though.
When you say beat down, like, how did that affect you, though? Like, I agree.
The experience of it was not great. Like, the stadium was pretty hammered.
Yeah, but did that affect you?
Sure.
Okay. Qualcomm press box was great. Qualcomm, like we said, 60,000 people, it seemed like, went there all the time. Dirt was always great. Pits were fine. To me, Petco gets dragged down by the pits for sure, but not enough to take it out of my number two ranking because of the views and the baseball stadium and all of that. Really nice.
Really nice building.
Really nice
building. Really nice building.
Great food, great concessions like sushi and burritos and all that. And then, you know, Snapdragon is small, just kind of blasé. Pits are better, of course, like JT mentioned. It will never forgive the Quintanaro Snapdragon interview that went down. That was horrific.
Horrific.
But yeah. I'll
actually
go.
Drags the ranking of the stadium.
Oh, because I can't get it out of my mind.
Interviewing Fabio Quartararo has brought the stadium itself.
Wren Dogger is right there, a past San Diego winner. I'll go all of that, I think. But Snapdragon, I mean, the pits at Petco were, like JT said, I mean, they were split up. They were super far. If you're a fan of the sport, walking around the pits is half the coolness, right? Or let's say 30% of the coolness of a race, which was pretty hard to do at Petco. But the Omni Hotel at Petco was really nice to stay there.
It was.
Walk,
it was
walk
really
right
nice.
There.
You're right.
Yeah. But Snapdragon's... yeah, it's a substitute for Petco. Some ways better, some ways worse. Man, we've had a couple of mutters, right? Out of the 2 years or 3 years?
Yeah.
We haven't had a like real... I think we had one dry. Are we on the fourth year?
We had one of the worst mutters ever at Petco. That was terrible.
Yeah? Yeah, who can forget that?
2019?
Limegate.
Is it 19? Terrible.
All right, San Diego's a great city, though, too. So if you're a fan and you want to go to San Diego, it offers all the things Anaheim does, and maybe some in some ways better. Great city. Anaheim 2's next, and yeah, it's the chilled out Anaheim 1 version, Weege. It's just the chill one.
That's a good point. Yeah, it is. And honestly, I think if you're a fan, you'd rather have the not chilled out one. I mean, just that atmosphere of the is great. But JT does make a point. The racing is often better. I say rounds 3, 4, 5 are often some of the best battles of the year because the nerves are kind of gone and everybody's pretty much got their bikes where they want them, but no one's given up yet. Like, everyone still thinks they can win. So sometimes you go to round 3, 4, 5, you're in for a barn burner, where round 1, rarely is anyone on their best form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So if you can make it to Anaheim 2 instead of Anaheim 1, it's a nice substitute.
Well, maybe Anaheim 1 sold out.
Yeah, there we go.
And then go to Anaheim 2.
All right, next up, next round is Glendale, JT. What are your thoughts? There's some good and bad for sure.
You think there's bad? I think it's one of the best ones. I really do. I think when you look at the weather for late January, early February, which is most oftentimes where this race lands, sometimes they've pushed it later, but I think for most of the country, you're in this frozen time frame where it's rough wherever you live. Now, if you live in Glendale or whatever, you're going there anyway. You live in California, you're probably going there anyway, so it kind of doesn't matter. But I love the fact that people can get out of that, go to, you know, kind of land of the rising sun type. It's sunny every day, it seems like, in Glendale. The golf is great. The area of where, I don't even know what it is now. What's the stadium? It's changed names a few times. Is it State Farm still?
No. I don't think it's State Farm anymore.
Okay. Well, it was State Farm.
It is State Farm on our schedule.
Okay.
I think it is.
Okay.
I think so, yeah.
It's a great stadium. It's very modern. It has a retractable roof. It has this really cool hydraulic field that can be taken out. Modern amenities. The food is actually fairly okay. That area, like the, I forget what it's called, Gateplex or something, all that area is pretty awesome. Like, brand new restaurants, brand new everything, Topgolf. Like, it can be its own destination, which I know was the plan early on, but it's taken a long time to get there. So to me, it is a top tier event on the schedule for many, many reasons.
Great dirt
accommodations, dirt, the racing is great. We oftentimes have a triple crown there, really big open track, like fast track. I'm having a hard time when you say it has good and bad. I'm having a hard time. I'm sure it has some drawbacks somewhere.
Distance from the airport.
Okay.
It's a negative.
Okay.
And then
it's 30 minutes.
I don't like, and I don't know who the gentleman is who has passed away, but the press box is named after a sports writer.
And you don't like him?
No.
Because he passed away?
No. He looks like me.
Oh, yes.
So when I go up there.
Do you don't like
weird.
Yourself?
No. I like myself, but it's kind of weird.
Yeah, then all day Steve has people saying, did they name this after you?
Yeah.
Isn't
the guy's name Steve, too?
I think it is.
I've never heard of this.
And they have this giant photo of him when you get out of the elevator, like, oh, my God, it's Mathis.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Also,
I think it's a petty reason to not like the race, but.
Cool. No, it's just a negative. I like the race. The race is good. Pits are good. It's not as quite as entertaining now that the Phoenix Coyotes have left, because sometimes there was a Friday night Phoenix Coyote game in the next plaza over.
Okay.
But the Coyotes have gone, so that's a drawback a little bit. The distance from the airport, you have to kind of decide, stay at the airport and drive in the morning and drive after, or stay out there and drive to the airport in the morning. So that's
the move, is to stay out there, but it's really expensive. Just a heads up.
Right.
Those, they're really nice hotels. There's a Renaissance. There are a few, but they're race weekend, they're a little pricey.
Right. Probably why I end up staying by the airport.
Yeah.
If you've listened to our review pods for any length of time, great dirt, long track, you know, all of that in Glendale.
And weather is track was. Oh yeah, go ahead, Jake.
I was just saying weather is just almost impossible to beat. Go ahead, Weege.
Yeah. Yeah, that too. Last year's track was not good, but that was a rare one. I honestly feel like this has lent itself to maybe some of the best tracks we've ever seen. The 2017 track there is about as good as it can get. I guess it's the long lanes and the dirt. I don't know what happened last year. It didn't work. It had that curve so that you couldn't do anything in the rhythm lanes. The rhythm lanes had like a kink in them.
Yeah, we've got a couple of those early on this year, which I hate.
Last year wasn't it, but because the floor is extra, extra long, it's like the riders, they like that football layout with the long rhythms. It's that plus like another 20%. Usually it's an awesome event. This is back to, again, a suburb stadium. We used to have the baseball stadium, which was downtown, which they crammed the pits in there. It was actually kind of a fun atmosphere. But yeah, yes, this is back to the normal.
Yeah.
It was so packed. This is just a giant parking lot, pits, easy to walk around, see everything, do everything. Pretty cool.
The also bonus, every other year, it seems like, or almost every year, they have catering in the corner of the press box. And I don't know who it's for, but if you sort of act like you belong, you can go get chicken fingers.
Definitely not supposed to be doing that.
And nachos.
So you want the insight on that.
Yeah.
Some of these stadiums are allowed to, in the lease, they're allowed to sell the press box to corporate events.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it gets really dicey between they're trying to keep an area for media, as such as yourself, to have an area. But the stadiums are allowed to technically sell those press boxes. We've seen in the past, Atlanta has had this happen. Phoenix almost, or Glendale almost always has it happen. That's their food. That whatever corporation is buying the press box, that's their food that they're also buying.
Now, I will say that a couple years ago, yeah, there was some controversy. But the last few years, JT, it seemed like they haven't sold it as much, or people.
But they have the right to.
Yeah,
they have the right to.
Anyways, if you're up in the press box and you kind of just walk over there, you can get chicken fingers.
I would say don't do that.
Okay.
Well, you shouldn't be in the press box anyway.
Well, who? Who shouldn't?
General listener.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe you're a corporate guy.
Well, then it's your food.
Yeah, then it's your food. Lewis Phillips definitely took advantage of that last year. So I like that part of it as well. And then, yeah, for all the reasons that JT said, the dirt's great. Stadium's good.
I want to mention something else about the track, too. They're really, if you look at these track maps, and you can look at them all, just type it in Google and RacerX, we have it all. Just type in 2025 Supercross track maps and you can see them all. They're really trying to put in 180s. This football rectangular stadium does not have a single 90-degree turn. It's all one. So okay. Kudos to Mike Muey from Feld and everybody at Dirtworks. I'm gonna count. 1, 2, 3, 4. I see 5 bowl turns. Yep. It's rhythm 180, rhythm 180, rhythm 180, rhythm 180, rhythm 180.
Nice.
All the way around.
Yeah.
Yep.
Great. Great. Also, round 5. We're going to Tampa. We're going back to Tampa. And that's good. Tampa, home of, it's an open air stadium. It's in the suburbs. Pits are good.
It's all not in the suburbs. I mean,
okay. All right.
I would say that's a downtown stadium, wouldn't you?
Yeah. It is.
I don't know. I don't see any massive tall buildings around there, but okay.
I mean, Dale Mabry is not suburbs.
Great sand section there. They've had an awesome sand section there over the years. Again, Florida in February and March is some of the nicest weather you could possibly see. It's the kickoff to the East Coast as well. And it's mixed attendance over the years at Tampa. It hasn't always been good. Press box is good. Viewing's good. It's a good round overall. And like I said, the weather's great.
Yeah, I feel like I'm an expert on this particular event. I lived in Tampa for 8 years, and I was going there for a long time before I ever lived there. And so home of the Tampa Bay Bucks, Raymond James Stadium. The pits are probably the only thing I don't love. It's always a kind of a weird situation. We've been on both sides of the stadium. I don't know. It's okay. Like, if you've never been, you'll be okay with it. It's kind of grassy, but if it rains, that could present a pretty muddy pit situation. But yes, the stadium's good. It's modern. The surrounding area, like Dale Mabry per se, is not ideal, but there are hotels plethora everywhere around. If you go over by the International Mall area, it's probably 2 miles. Tons of great restaurants, hotels, everything you could possibly want, outdoor kind of
airports,
place to walk around. Airport's 3.5 miles away. It's a great event, especially being in that February time frame. If you were summer, you would think that the world is coming to an end with how hot it is with the air, but until about late March, Florida weather is really difficult to beat.
Weege, Tampa.
Yeah, it's pretty good all around. Like you said, the crowd oddly is not, I guess the whole history of these Florida races is not always awesome. Daytona's kind of its own animal, but for Tampa or Orlando, the Miami one from way back, Florida races, I think the riders love it because most of the riders either live right there or just on the other side of the state, which is what, hour and a half, 2 hours max. So I think they like it. I think you get a really good atmosphere and everybody's in a good mood because 99% of the riders will call it for home race, which seems to mean something. So I think it's always been a surprise it's not on the schedule every single year, to be honest.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about Tampa, too, is and this year, if you look at the track map, you'll notice there's a very similar sand section to the one we saw in 2017, where Justin Hill was trying to shock the world through there. So we have that section back again, which should be fun. Long, straight, rough, sandy section. But the dirt there, man, it's so much more hard-packed and slippery than what you would expect for Tampa. You'd think it'd be kind of a soft clay like we see in Orlando all the time or Daytona. It's not. It's I don't know where they get it from, but it's similar to if you watch some of like Chad Reed's old videos or now Jet and Hunter and those guys. It's like a white, almost like gumbo-y, lime rocky type clay that gets really, really hard-packed and slippery. So just a little context to the race. It's a lot more tricky of dirt than you would expect for Florida.
We each Ford Field the next week up in Detroit.
Yeah, this one has come around. The stadium is always way underrated. It's a really nice stadium. And even the area of town is actually very nice. And I know no one on earth that has not been there believes that. You just hear downtown Detroit and you're like, yeah, right. But, dude, I say it every year. I stay in a hotel close. I walk to the stadium. I walk back to my hotel at 1 a.m. from the stadium. Way less worried here than in some of the other more prominent cities that we go to. Now, there are parts of Detroit that are horrible. Actually, they're not even bad. They're just empty now. Like, they're just gone. This is not it. This is, like, the good part, and it does have one. And the stadium's awesome. The problem has always been the pits are atrocious, and the crowd used to be terrible, but some... I don't... What happened here? Like, the last 3 years, all of a sudden, the crowd's, like, decent. It used to be so bad.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point.
Did people finally realize, like...
Yeah, okay. Because the Pontiac people finally gave up and was like... I'm never going because I want to go to Pontiac. And then they finally gave up.
Well, I think
because Pontiac was great. Yeah. It was one of the best races. That obviously that stadium was old and they had to go. But that was as suburbs as it get. It wasn't anything to do with Detroit. And yeah, maybe it took 15 years for people to warm up with the idea of like, I swear to you, it's okay. You can go there.
I'll push back a little bit on downtown's really nice. I'll push back a little bit on that.
Dude,
it is better.
Why?
It's better. Okay, so you're going to tell me that what is, like, downtown Indy or some of the nicer downtown areas we go to? If Detroit is really nice downtown, what are those? Like, Oz? Like,
no,
the
I'm
world
saying,
of Oz?
Like, I'll give you an example. I was way more sketched out in Seattle than I was in Detroit. And everybody would be like, how could that be? Seattle's the coolest city ever.
Yeah.
Okay, in general, yes, but we're only talking a... You're not touring the whole city. You just need a 3 or 4 block radius where the stadium, hotel, parking, and all that stuff is. And that area is.
Yeah, there's.
I don't know that fine. I'm not on board with really nice, but I'll give it a. I'll give it much better.
There's a casino not far. People end up at the casino a lot. Not far, and the weather sucks. Weather is cold.
The weather sucks.
You're outside.
And the pits are the worst.
The pits are the worst. The teams are all buckled up. So this one gets a drawback. If you're going to go to a race from an outside locale, don't go to Detroit. You won't have the pit experience. You won't have – it'll be cold. Like, this is a locals-only Supercross, which Michigan's super strong for moto.
You know what is cool, though, about it? I like the uniqueness of it because it's almost like a – you ever go to, like, a skating rink and they have, like, an all-night lock-in skating where you just can't leave and everybody hangs out and it's very social? That's what Detroit feels like to me because nobody can really go anywhere and there's not this huge pit activation where everybody kind of scatters and spreads out. Mm-hmm. Everybody's kind of hanging out in the press box or in the stadium and sitting around talking because there's nowhere to go. Yeah. Like there is literally nowhere else to go. So it has this unique kind of atmosphere to it.
The Privateer Island pits are something else in Detroit.
Rough.
You go in the stadium where the Privateers go in and there's like chairs stacked up from the lines and game, and there's giant fireman hats that are just sitting there. There's like all the props that the game day people use. They're just stuck under the stadium where the privateers are pitted. And these guys, these animals, these privateers, they're grabbing anything
these
they can sleep
animals.
In. They can sleep in a fireman's hat. A-Ray had some chairs stretched out across 1 year, and it's quite a scene down there for the privateers. But It is a really nice stadium. Press box is good. A little high for me. But good food. Yeah, really good food. And yeah, it's an underrated stadium for sure.
Yeah.
But everything else kind of sucks. But if you're local, yeah, go to Detroit. Catch the fever. I stay by the airport because it's cheaper and easier. This is, again, one of those Glendale situations where you got 20, 30-minute drive, depending on where you stay, and you fly in and out of.
So. Where Weege and I stayed last year, it may have been the Omni. I don't know. It was great. If you can stay there, absolutely do it. It was awesome.
All right, next round is Arlington, Dallas. Again, they get mad if you call it Dallas, but it's basically Dallas. A little far from the airport. Again, this is this stadium's 9 years old now?
2009 was the first year.
Yeah, it's still really nice. The press box is these big leather chairs, great viewing, all of it. Fans are into it. Concession prices are high, Weege, at Dallas.
I don't really buy the concessions at any stadium.
But you did
is
that one
year. Is there a difference?
Year.
Like, are they all? Oh. They're all pricey.
Yeah, well,
pricier. I don't
know. Well, Dallas specifically, you bought us all lunch one day on the Racer X.
That was a rare. Yeah, that sucked. But that was rare. And I don't have a reference to compare it to. But okay. Yes, it did happen. Like $18 burgers. But and isn't that normal?
No, Dallas is higher. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just thought this is every stadium.
No, Dallas is higher. And JT, they have the little like club zone thing with better food, like tri-tip and stuff. At Dallas as well. You and I have been in there before.
Yeah, but that's like a special VIP
thing. Yeah, but you can buy the ticket. If you're a fan, you can buy those tickets.
I didn't know that was available. Okay.
They're club seats or whatever. Good dirt. Dallas used to have the worst dirt when the old stadium was there, and now it's the best dirt in the series, or one of the best dirts. Giant scoreboard, of course, that is really cool. Pits are old school, like just spread out, just like they did.
They're better now, though. When they used to be across the road, it was pretty far.
Pretty walk,
pretty
yeah.
far.
Yeah.
Now it's just right in the door.
Those are all condos now where we used to pit. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So, Dallas is a good one, Weege.
Yeah, it really is. Again, this is back to the suburbs, so they got tons of room. I know there's tons of room in Texas everywhere, but I honestly don't even know where Dallas and Fort Worth, the cities, are in reference to the stadium. Like, I've never gone to the city while I'm at the stadium. I don't know. Are they a half hour away? Are they 20 minutes away?
Downtown Dallas is 30 to 40 minutes.
So you've never done the JFK thing in Dallas, downtown Dallas?
No. Okay. No, I haven't. What I'm saying is it's not even relevant. Like, sometimes you're in the city, you are in Arlington. They're building up quite a bit of stuff around there, but whatever, man. Everybody knows what the star of this is. It is that stadium. I still feel with the star right there at the 50-yard line. I feel like some of the other stadiums, even like Ford Field, aren't, like, they're similar, but this just has a rep of the greatest sports stadium, at least in America. So probably owe it to yourself to see it.
Security are little. These guys can be a little jerks.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've never had that problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Where?
Just getting in from the pits to go to the side.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never had another stadium.
Like a very aggressive security and a very...
Maybe it's because you're Canadian.
Maybe. How do they know that, though?
If they follow you on Twitter, they would know.
Okay. It's not a huge thing, but I've definitely noticed the Dallas security. Like, remember that we've had long lines for people trying to get in, industry people trying to get in because they're aggressive.
Oh, I don't know about industry. I mean, Atlanta 5 years ago was the worst all-time ever.
Right.
So I want to insert a little sidebar here. What is on or off the schedule the nicest, because this is what I believe is on the schedule is the nicest stadium. What is the nicest stadium in America on or off the schedule?
Honestly, Minneapolis is one of them.
There was my one.
Yeah, Minneapolis is beautiful. I would put Dallas on the same level as Minneapolis, maybe a little less. But, Minneapolis.
Nope, that was my one.
Dallas is a good one. Dark Side will be there. So there's always that. You know?
Big step.
Yeah, big step there. Tons of hotels. Tons of things around there. There's a whole, like LA Live down by the Staples Center. And different cities have that. That is all built up now, too, with the new baseball stadium that's there.
Yep.
Gotta love Dallas, Texas money. They had a Texas Rangers stadium that was probably 20 years old, and they just said, nah, we're building a new one with a roof. So now the old one's just sitting there. I don't know what goes on in that, but some cities like have 40-year-old relics they're trying to get public money for and private money for, and Dallas is like, we'll just build a new one. Dallas is a good one. A little far from the airport and all of that still. You got to make that choice.
It's not that far. 15 minutes?
No, it's more than
that. No. I'm telling you, it's not.
Next one is Daytona. Daytona Speedway.
Best race in the series?
They got a lot of history there. Listen, if you're listening to this and you're on the fence about Daytona, if you can get a hold of Frank, he's the president of the Speedway. Frank will dial you in.
My dad?
No.
Oh. I don't think anybody's getting a hold of him.
Because Frank has a
19 minutes. A 18, suite, 18 minutes.
A suite and everything up there without traffic.
Isn't he the president of Daytona Speedway?
Yeah.
Like, good luck.
Otherwise, I say stay clear of Daytona. Viewing's no good. It's not the old school Daytona anymore. The track's pretty lame because of the – and again, it's not even really anybody's fault. They've constricted the pit lane area. There's less grass than there used to be. There's sprinklers. There's lawyers involved as far as making sure the bikes don't fly off the track. There's you can stand on the NASCAR track, and then by the end of the year, Achilles tendon will be torn from standing on that angle for hours. Viewing is not great. Getting in and out is not great. It's a great race.
I don't feel like it deserves – I mean, stop me if I'm – I've said this before, but I don't feel like it deserves the vitriol that you give it.
Okay. I mean, the only thing it's got, like I will say, and I've told people this, go once because it's Daytona. And, you know, it's the massive history of NASCAR, of course, and that this race has been there 40 years, this dirt bike race, at least 40 years, maybe more. So go there. Now, thanks to Frank last year, our friend Justin Brayton hooking that up.
I hate that he enabled this.
I had a great
literally
time.
Hate
I had a great time.
Drives me bonkers.
And I've been told that I'm back on for 2025.
These people are enabling your bad behavior, which drives me crazy.
Shrimp cocktail was up there. There was an ice cream vending thing. It was phenomenal. But the JT's Florida, so he's just so biased towards this race.
I didn't say it was amazing.
Yeah,
I said
you,
it doesn't
you have.
Deserve
you,
the vitriol that you give.
You've
it.
Said it's one of the better races, Bob. You've said that. You've been a pro Daytona person.
I don't think it's one of the better ones. I think it's very unique. It's different. The weather's typically really good. March in Florida is pretty awesome. You have the bike week aspect of it, which if you are a fan of motorcycles, which most people are, there's a lot to take in, from flat track to Daytona 200 to all the things that come along with bike week. I
feel like bike week is so like not a thing anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like
it is
though. The crowd's so low. It's
yeah,
not...
but it's at the front end of that. You don't go, you don't stay. So bike week starts that weekend and everybody's from the north's driving. So they barely make the race or don't. Mm-hmm. And then bike week goes all the way through that week and the next weekend. So it doesn't even start really until we're gone.
I've been told by my biker friends that Sturgis is far taken. Daytona's,
Sturgis is big.
Yeah.
Sturgis Daytona's is big, but bike
crowd.
Week is still big.
Okay.
Like, I mean, our company is there every single year, right?
Yep.
So I
right.
hear about it, learn about it. Maybe I even have to go there this year. I don't know. But yeah, is it as good as like Glendale? Or Dallas. No, it's not. But it doesn't deserve the hate. I feel like your bias and you don't feel like in the past you could see enough or get taken care of or these like that is for the
but
average
I mean,
person is not a factor.
You don't think the average person wants to be able to see the racetrack?
They can see the racetrack.
A little section. And or else they're so far away on the grandstand side that they're like, hey, is that Tomac or is that A-Ray?
It's not that far away.
Like, you know. All right, Weege, go ahead.
One thing about this race, the standing on the track where you, what is it, tear your Achilles or something?
Yeah,
is that
yeah
what you said?
You tear your Achilles.
Yeah.
Thing, yeah.
It's a pretty unique experience. If you go to a motocross race, obviously, the Nationals, you get to stand along the fence and see the bikes crazy up close. You cannot really get that experience at all at a supercross stadium, except for Daytona. So that's cool. And then they also open up the fence and the fans.
Don't do that again.
Destroy the track.
Please don't do that again.
Yeah.
People almost got hurt. I don't know.
Hopefully this year they wait until after the riders have taken the checkered flag.
Have a feeling.
But they get to run
changes.
Across the track and go to the podium, which, again, you don't get to do in any other supercross. It's like a national. So I think that's unique and really fun and cool. I guarantee you if you ask those fans that were down there on the tarmac, they're not talking about their Achilles. They're talking about watching the dudes do triples 20 feet in front of them and how cool it was to get sprayed with champagne at the podium. So... Steve, since you're up in the ivory tower with the president, you're probably not experiencing that.
Oh, I experienced it because I had to fight that crowd to get to the press room and everything else and go. And I was thinking to myself, oh, my God, someone's going to die here.
But, yeah. Jason Anderson dodging fans is not it.
I think my friend Frank has promised there will be changes on that.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be.
Right.
And if you're any of the fans, like if you're the riders and stuff, that's not great. But the fans running across the track to the podium, I'm sure every one of them is thrilled and said, I don't get to do this at any other Supercross. This is awesome.
You think they're thrilled to just run across the track and okay?
Yeah, have you seen the people running across the track? Okay,
you don't think they're pumped to be able to go across the track?
No, he's just poo-pooing all of it. He's just
I don't know. Like, is it? Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man.
Yeah, we know.
They
can tell.
Sure seem to like it.
But by the way, this is the 54th Daytona. I said over 40 years. This is the 54th one. Damn.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I know the crowd's always pretty into it. Yeah, it just seem like they're having a miserable experience, like you claim they are.
Stay away from this one. There's a lot of better Supercross rounds to go to.
I'm sure Frank thanks you for his hard work to show you and this experience, and then you just say, stay away from this one.
Yeah, go once, because it's got all the history.
This is why I don't like him enabling your bad behavior, because you show no reciprocation for it.
I thank Frank for everything he did. I just, there's better ones than this on the circuit. But go once and check it out and all of that. And like, listen, this race doesn't produce great racing. A lot of times it did last year. It had some good rounds. Eli going at it for a little bit there until he, you know, wouldn't do that triple and made a mistake. And there are some races, but generally speaking, these, because of the track restrictions and the things that they have to do legal wise, it's not a great racetrack and it's not a great racing.
05, 92, 2017, 2018. I don't know. I'm not going to argue with you about it because you have a very strong bias against it.
Okay, where just off top of your head, 17 rounds, where would Daytona rank, just generally? Like as a
10 or 12.
Okay, well, okay, so that's not far off what I'm saying.
But you said like 17 bad things about it to open the race.
It is not the worst round of the series.
Okay.
It's not.
Thank you. What is?
I mean, we'll get to that.
Okay.
But
I would never say it's top three. Never.
10th or 12th, okay. I mean, you kind of make my point.
No, I'm not. Staying away, you're going to stay away from half of them?
No, we're going to stay away from half of them. All right, next round. Indianapolis, and like Lakewood National, underrated Wygant. Underrated round. It's cold.
Yeah, that is a great way to put it. Yeah. I know what I'm saying, downtown Detroit is better than you think. No one believes me. But please, everybody, when they announced that Donations is coming to Ironman, when we were at Donations this year in England, I had a couple fans be like, oh, but Indianapolis? I'm like, no, man. I swear to you, downtown Indy can go up against any city. It's fine.
It's good.
I don't think anyone expects it to be dangerous. They probably just think it's boring. It's
Indy's
awesome.
Great. Downtown Indy, whoever.
And the stadium's right there.
Yeah, whoever decided about 20 years ago to put a bunch of money into downtown Indy and revitalize it, kudos. Yeah. Like, slow clap for them.
You know, this is March 8th this year, so maybe it'll be, like, the drawback to me is the weather, really cold, but March 8th might be fine by then.
It'll probably be cold.
Okay. Well, maybe not as cold. So the weather's a bit of a drawback, but the pits are good. Pits are right next to the stadium and go in and out really easy from there. As you guys mentioned, the downtown's really good. Great restaurants, cool vibe. It's not too pricey. If you stay by the airport, you're fine. If you stay downtown, you're fine. Good stadium, good viewing.
Pits are super close.
Dirt's good. Like, this is a good round. Yeah.
Yep.
Actually, the pits... Correct me if I'm wrong. I think there's some years where they do not have open pits. It depends on the weather.
It's the weather.
So that's obviously, that's, as you said, Steve, you're probably right. I hate to say that. Maybe 30% of this experience is that, and that sometimes isn't there. So check.
It has to be really bad.
Most years it is, but some years it's not.
Mm-hmm. They plan, from what I know about it, just because I have to deal with this on the WPS side, they almost always plan on it, and then at last second, if they can't, they won't. But they're under a lot of pressure from sponsors to activate these races. So they're going to do everything they possibly can to have it. Unless a blizzard's coming in, they're going to do it.
It's a east-west showdown, too, add to it this year. So that's another reason to go. Some of the privateers do pit underneath, but most people, depending on the weather, will pit outside. And
are you going to complain about the press box height?
No, it's good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean,
it's one of the highest ones.
I feel like it's not as high as Detroit.
It's the same. Is it sixth level?
This was the race where the Indianapolis football players ate all the pizza that they got to the media. that was a big drawback.
I like that.
But Sean Brennan made it right a few weeks later. Go to Indy. Check it out. Like we said, you may not think about it as a cool race, but it is a cool race.
It is great. Top five.
Yeah, I would say top five. Yep. Weege, top five.
Yeah, I go top five.
Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Use the code PULPMX when you're on flyracing.com to save. Thank you to the folks at Fly Racing for coming on board. Cooper Webb, Fly Racing guy. Dean Wilson, Joey Savacci running down under in Fly Racing gear. RJ Hampshire, defending champ. Fly Racing gear. Chance Hymus, Fly Racing. So, yeah, man, Formula Helmet's amazing. Check out the tech that's involved in the Formula Helmet, whether it's Formula S or the regular Formula. Different shells, different price points, but it's a great helmet from the folks at Fly Racing. And thank you to Maxxis Tires and, of course, Renthal as well. Go talk to Lars at any of these races, and you'll see Renthal on the factory Hondas and factory Kawasaki's, Red Bull KTM as well. Sprockets, chains, grips, all of it from the 7/8 bar to the Fat Bar 36 to the Fat Bar Twin Wall bar when it came out was amazing. And we just did a re-raceables with McGrath talking about that handlebar a little bit. So, yeah, Renthal, renthal.com. And, yeah, support those guys as well. And motorsport.com as well. Go through the banner on PulpMX to help us out. OEM and aftermarket parts, motorsport.com. And they got a Veterans Day sale going on right now. They've always got sales going on. OEM and aftermarket parts. If you go through the banner on PulpMX.com, that helps us out. And street bike, e-bikes, course dirt bikes, all of that, Fly Racing, Maxxis, Renthal available at motorsport.com as well. So thank you to those guys. And then, of course, Weege as well on XMaps.
Yeah, Onyx Maps, they really keep changing the app and improving the app all the time. We had mentioned a couple months ago that they had input into the AMA Hard Enduro Championship, where they actually made most of the trails based on Onyx Maps. That's how specific and designed for dirt bikers this app is. You can also check out the website, which is onxmaps.com or onxoffroad to get the app. And you can take it for a 7-day test ride, test drive, see where there's mountain bike trails, hiking trails, hunting property, dirt bike trails. And then if you want to purchase a subscription, we'll give you a discount. Just type in RacerX, one word, all lowercase. Especially in the more western part of the country, like I'm thinking states like perhaps Nevada and Idaho, really be good for my friends that live out there.
Great, fantastic. Probably you can use Onyx Maps to find your way around Daytona, mountain bike places as well. All right, picking it up, back up after Indy. Indy's two thumbs up from each of us here on the show. It's something that we agree on. Birmingham. Birmingham. Right after Indy. You're going to go from Indy to Birmingham. Good luck, everybody.
Did you not like Birmingham? I'm picking up on that.
No. Well, look, the weather didn't help. Really crappy weather, sort of shitty dirt. It's a very Snapdragon-ish stadium. Very much the same.
Same architect.
Yep. Same. Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. It's an MLS stadium. Yeah, man, I don't know. Birmingham, yay. Surrounding areas, not great. Nice hotels around there a little bit by the stadium. But as far as restaurants go, we had to drive far to get to that Ruth Chris that we wanted to go to.
But you went there on purpose. There's like five restaurants next door.
Yeah, but what was
you
around
chose
there?
To leave.
There's five restaurants next door.
Yeah, there were.
Tell me. I don't know.
I don't know the names of them. I ate them every night. Okay. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, I ate at them.
I remember Googling like steakhouse, and there was nothing around. So maybe it was not a steakhouse, and that's why we had to go that far. But I don't know, man. Like, yeah, it's like the pits were two levels in a convention center. Most of the factory teams are on one side, and then you take an escalator down. So pits, and they were really far. Yeah, Birmingham. I mean, it's a five. It's just a five. There's nothing special about Birmingham to me. Look, we're going back for a year or two, so maybe something will pop up. But airport's a little far, not too bad. Yeah, I don't know. Weege, Birmingham?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It wasn't horrible. Like, if you're worried about, like, oh, man, is Birmingham, like, a bad city to go to? It was fine. Everything was fine.
It's
but,
fine,
yeah. Nothing about it was – that's what I mean. Like, it's not, like, in the negative category. It's just it doesn't have anything in the positive category. It's nothing special.
Yep.
Now, I'm quickly realizing on this show, perhaps – me growing up in New Jersey and growing up walking around New York City at all hours of the night when I was older and hours of the day when I was younger. I mean, I went for like a jog and just ran all over Birmingham, I think the morning of the race. I thought it was actually pretty cool. My level of urbanness is probably different than others. There's nothing bad about it, but yeah, and just like that Snapdragon Stadium, the stadium's like 80% of an NFL stadium. It's like, okay, but it's not spectacular. It's a little small. There's nothing spectacular about the building.
Yeah.
So it's okay. That's about it. It's okay.
It's fine, JT.
I'm good. Maybe a six or so. I thought it was okay. Like it doesn't have a lot of unique aspects to draw you there. But it wasn't one where I'm like, yeah, we should, like Oakland, we should never go back there again. Like it's definitely nowhere near any of that.
I remember flights being really expensive too.
To Birmingham?
I mean, maybe because I'm a United guy and Birmingham's not in their plans, but damn, I paid a lot of money for this flight.
Okay.
One other thing I want to mention, there is the Barber Museum, which is 40 minutes maybe. It might be the coolest race motorcycle museum in the world.
I need to go there. I need to try to go there.
You have not gone?
No, I've never been.
I mean, you know one of your motorcycles.
Oh, I know. One of my handiwork bikes are sitting right there. I get DMs all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll just say this. When the elevator has an F1 car bolted to the roof of it, you know there's a pretty nice collection there. So that alone is cool. And as far as the track is concerned, yes, last year we had the bad weather and the track was not good. But there was a gentleman that I know that suggested, if you know it's going to be a mud race,
mm-hmm.
as if there's a way to know for sure, take the whoops out and just turn them into rollers. And then it ended up not being a mud race, and we had rollers instead of whoops, which sucked. So do you take it back, Steve?
I don't take it back. Advice. I don't take it back.
Did he take anything back
it
ever,
didn't,
JT?
No.
Yes, I do. But it didn't work great. But I stand by what I said. This was also the race where Benny Bloss fell three times in the same turn.
It was. That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, one of the most underrated moments of 2024.
All right. Next round, Seattle. This is the round where I've wanted them to build a mud track for a number of years. We normally get soft, spongy, weather tracks. It's an outdoor stadium. One time I asked somebody in Seattle, I'm like, why the hell did Paul Allen build an outdoor stadium in Seattle? And this gentleman told me, he works for the Seahawks, he told me that Paul Allen went through the Farmer's Almanac for 100 years or whatever to the fall games of the dates of Seattle NFL games and decided that there wasn't much weather over the 100-year thing to put a roof on it.
It doesn't rain a lot at Seattle football games, to be fair.
Paul Allen, man, this is what he did. He did the research.
I don't think that's what he did. He was a Microsoft guy, but he may have also done this.
Yes. So that's why there's no roof on this thing. I've stayed right down by the harbor. Cool-ass room. The airport traffic is a little much. Sometimes you fly in at the wrong time because Seattle traffic's not great.
No. It's taken a pretty big downhill turn, though, Seattle.
The surrounding area, right. Like we
Detroit's
earlier.
Better.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You guys fell right into that.
I'm not there for that, but
thank you.
Yeah, Seattle, great city, but it's gone downhill.
Pits are indoors now. It's 3 years now, 4 years. They moved the pits all indoors.
And that's nice. You can just walk straight through. Yeah. Don't even have to go outside. You know, a lot of the seats are covered inside the stadium. Not all of them. A lot of them. I think there's a lot of upside. Honestly, there are very few downsides other than just it used to be so nice to stay downtown and you could just walk to the race and walk back, whatever, but the city is just...
Well, you still can.
You can. Yeah. Your chances of dying are low. It's just not as of enjoyable of an experience as it used to be.
I took a scooter to and from the stadium.
Me too. Yep. Yep, same.
I feel like it's a little better than it was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, but it's not even close to as nice as it was, you know, way before that.
And you're
it's
also...
a little better than the absolute... I don't know how much of that was pandemic or whatever. Like 3 or 4 years ago, I was like, what the hell is going on? And it's not quite that bad anymore, but it's way worse than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, it was like Lord of the Flies there for a little bit.
Yeah.
Also, as far as the racing goes, like there's a 50% chance that you are going to have a bad race just because of rain and ruts, and you're going to watch a bunch of guys rolling jumps. You know, maybe not 50%, 40% chance, let's say. So you could end up, you know, spend all this money going to Seattle and watching guys roll the finish line because of the weather and because of the stadium and all of that. We have had great races there, of course, over the years. And then neither one of you ever went to the Kingdome, did you?
Never.
Oh, no. Kingdome days. Fridwell made the main there once. All right, that's Seattle.
It's a tough one because I do feel, yes, the city has gone downhill, but I do feel if you've never gone there, I don't know, some of the iconic Seattle things would be a cool thing to see once in your life.
Yeah, Pike's Market, right. The Needle.
That's where the first Starbucks was and things like that. I don't know. As a tourist thing to do once in your life, it's probably something you should do. What I like about some of these, Seattle's definitely at the top of that. You get these ones that are pretty far away from everything else, and I feel like the crowd is extra into it because it's like their only race. You're not going to get that in San Diego.
Listen, I get stopped for photos and chatting maybe more than anywhere than in Seattle. Like, hardcore moto people. And we're having a live show.
We have Seattle and Washougal, and that's all we're ever going to have. So we're making the most of it.
And we have a live show in Renton this year, Friday night. So we're coming back to that. Yeah, Seattle crowd is gnarly. They're into it, and they love dirt bikes. That's for sure. All right, next week, Foxborough, and back to Gillette. At one time, it was going to be Gillette and New York in rotation, and this is the first year they've kind of broken that. We're going to New York and Gillette. Major drawback for the 45-minute drive from airport and Boston and Logan, all of that, pretty gnarly, expensive. Stadium's nothing special, which is surprising because it's not that old. And then you look at the success of the Patriots, you're like, you know, I just imagine them having a nicer stadium than they did.
I feel like it's a little bit old. Is it not?
Is it? Okay. 98?
That's 25 years,
I guess. But good pits, good people. Generally, a good race. Weege, Foxborough.
A lot of it is kind of meh. What saves it is same thing as Seattle. We all know, like, New England has its own motocross tribe of people, and you get to see them not quite in the same manner that Southwick is.
JoJo.
Yeah, you see the JoJos and Jimmy D and just these people who are. Bleed for their guys, and that's unique to other races. But yeah, the stadium, the surrounding area, it's not close to anything.
No.
The area around it isn't anything special. The stadium's nothing special. The dirt's nothing special. Of course, weather is always iffy at this time of year. Even if it doesn't rain and it's not a mud race, it's probably going to be cold. So I don't know. Kind of a meh one, but the atmosphere of those fans does help.
Have you guys stayed in Boston and out there over the years?
Yes.
I've done both. Also, I've stayed in Boston and gotten up early and done that drive. I brought Pookie out last year, and we did a harbor taxi around Boston and then walked downtown. That was kind of cool for stuff to do, stuff to see. Staying out there, yeah, nothing. Nothing's going on. I remember trying to find
a
restaurant.
They have built that area up.
A little bit.
Similar to what they did with Glendale. Mm-hmm. They kind of have a bunch of restaurants and things around there. I mean, compared to Boston, no. But they have done a decent job of building that little...
We just doesn't apply to you, but goddamn, that's a far flight too. You know,
like I said, everyone listening, just remove where you live from our rankings.
I know. You're right.
Not everybody lives in Vegas listening, Steve.
Right. all right. Next week, Philly. We were there for the first time since the mid '80s, early '80s. Last year, it was a day race. It was nice to go to Philly. Nice to go somewhere different. Airport's fairly close. Stadium's nice. It's still pretty new. Nicer than say Foxborough. And the crowd was good for a day race. People were into it. Pits were fine. Good restaurants. Damn far flight again. JT, Philly?
I liked Philly.
Yeah.
You can stay at the airport. There's a really nice, I think it's Marriott, we stayed at, and you can just commute back and forth, or you can stay downtown. Stadium's kind of right there. But I think the unique thing about Philly is all four of their sports teams are in a square, like their stadiums. Like, that's a really cool thing. Doesn't really change anything unless there happens to be another sporting event. But I don't know. It's just a very unique thing about that stadium. But I kind of went into it thinking it would be a little underwhelming, and I left there going, man, this one's pretty good. I'm excited to be going back.
I like how they embrace. I got lost last year. Couldn't find the press box. I'm not going to penalize them for that.
It was hard to find.
It was hard to find, yep. And I didn't know where I was going, so I'm not going to penalize them for that. But I did walk around, and I thought it was really cool. They had photos of Rocky, a lot of photos of Rocky,
yep.
And Sylvester Stallone, so I'm down with that. Good job for Philly on that, and we're going back. So interesting, Weege. We got Foxborough, Philly, and New York back to back to back. I'm surprised Feld did that. We'll see.
Same.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. You know, because
I didn't expect the Philly one to be as successful as it was, but I'd heard leading up to it, maybe a couple days before, like they were surprised how many tickets they had, and that guaranteed it would be back this year. And the crowd really did show up, and it is back.
Yeah,
Philly's always done a pretty smart thing with their stadiums. I talk about this summer dilemma. They basically just built a sports district. It's not downtown Philly, but because all the stadiums are there. There's still enough stuff, but you still get a big open parking lot where you get good pits, easy in and out. But it's also not middle of nowhere. I mean, Foxborough, you were just driving through people's neighborhoods and then, oh, there's a football stadium.
Yeah, people.
So it's kind of the best of all worlds they're set up here.
People told me, don't go downtown Philly, man. And our buddy, my dear friend Nick, set us up with a nice restaurant.
That was great.
And I walked around downtown Philly. It was fun.
I didn't walk around downtown Philly, but the restaurant I mean, it's, I thought it was fun.
But this is not where it's funny. It's like there's a separation of here's downtown Philly.
Yeah.
Here's the Philly sports stadiums. They're separate.
Yeah, I had to drive. Yeah, I had to drive and fight traffic. That wasn't fun. All right, the next week, East Rutherford, Weege, home stadium for you. I mean, Giant Stadium back in the day. Now it's MetLife.
Yeah, so with the Giant Stadium, they leveled that. They replaced it with a new stadium in the same parking lot, same area. This will show you how far a buck does not go in this corner of the world, because apparently this stadium is the same investment as the Arlington Stadium. It's not even close to as nice. It's fine. It's nice.
It's so meh for a New York stadium,
yeah,
right?
It has nothing interesting architecturally at all. It's a nice big building, but it's not the Ford Field, or you mentioned Minneapolis or Dallas. They have so much character and like, wow, that's cool. There's nothing almost to even make you – they have two NFL teams that play there, and you don't even see anything that really – reminds you of their teams. These other places are shrines to their franchise. It's odd.
So if someone's listening to this from another country, or they've never, say they're from this side of the country, they've never been there, I would recommend staying in New York City and doing that drive / subway, cab, Uber, whatever out there, because there's, I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do this year. It's been a few years since I did in New York. I've done both. I'm kind of over New York City. I've seen it so many times, been there. So I just get in and out of Newark, because that's where United goes. But just do that, right? Right, guys? Like, stay in New York City.
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
To me, it's the draw of this event. The stadium's not overly great. It was cool when it first got built. MetLife was cool. But the draw of New York City, to me, is what makes this event.
And let me also give you a little bit of warning. I remember one year trying to get an Uber after the race to go into the city back to my hotel, and I was getting cancellations. So I don't know if Uber guys weren't into that. I don't know what's going on, but I was like, I guess I might be stuck out here forever. So
it blows my mind that this stadium is like, we don't have enough room in New York City. We're just going to build a stadium in New Jersey. And this goes back to the original stadium, which I think was the early 80s or 70s. So they had 40 years to figure this out. And they don't really have a super good way. Like, there are so many trains and subways in New York and New Jersey. But here's what you can't do. You cannot take a train from the city to the stadium. I cannot believe in decades they have not solved this problem. Now, I think specifically if there's a New York Giants game on a Sunday, they probably ramp up a ton of bus service to get you in and out. But that's not happening at any other random time of the year. So it's just tough. Yes, if you go to this race and you don't go to New York City, you basically blew the point of going to this race. But it is a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you can go to a subway station in Newark and catch a cab, right? That's what you do?
Yeah, so a couple years ago, you and I went to a Yankees-Blue Jays game, and you just Ubered for, like, an exorbitant amount of money.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I was not going to spend that. So I had to take a Uber to the train station, train into the city, and then subway from the train station to Yankee Stadium, which took me about 2 hours. Only cost me about $12.
Cost me, I think, 60 and took me 30 minutes.
Oh, it was more than 60. Come on.
Maybe. I don't remember. But anyways.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a bad calculation on my part, but it just really angered me that they have not solved this problem.
But yeah, go if you're going to go to the city. And it's New York City. I mean, it's cool. Yep. And
especially if you've never been, you've got to go.
Yeah. And then make it out to East Rutherford and watch the race and go back to the city. all right. New venue. Again, I think they had one in 1883. We're going back to Pittsburgh. I'm looking forward to seeing this stadium. I've seen it in so many photos. Great skyline view. The Pirates play there. And this is when you got High Point people, Ohio people. Pittsburgh's far away from Philly enough where you're going to draw that. JT, this should be a good one, fan-wise.
No, I think so. I think they're already getting a ton of interest with this one. When you think about all the people that are around there, District 5, MX Sports is based in Morgantown right down the road. Like, there's a ton of history in this sport wrapped around the Pittsburgh area. So I think it's going to kind of be a home run event for attendance, for atmosphere, for all those things. The weather could be a big part of all these races. You think about Foxborough, New York, Philly, Pittsburgh,
all of them outdoor,
all of them in the spring. Like, we could theoretically have 4 mud races in a row.
The teams and riders are over this. They're very frustrated with Feld for not getting more covered stadiums. That's way beyond what, they got to fit in. Stadiums and prices and travel routes, so God knows. It's not like Feld's rubbing their hands together and being like, let's get open air and we can get mud. Like, they are not doing that. This is what they're trying to do. But it's frustrating for sure that we could end up this way. 3 weeks in a row on the East Coast. Yeah.
Yeah, it's there's nothing you can do about it. I'm very curious to see how this plays out when you think about market saturation. You're drawing from a lot of the same fan bases 4 times in a row. I don't know what that's going to look like. But I do think no matter what, Pittsburgh is going to be a great event. What's the weather, but everything else will be great.
Tons of hotels down there. It's a nice area downtown. At least I've been there for years, but
yeah.
When I was.
Yeah, I mean, you talk to Steeler fans, yeah. They love it, right? Like, they absolutely love this location, downtown. So I don't see how, other than weather, that it's not going to be great.
Weege, if I see RacerX's Mitch Kendra post anything more about Pittsburgh Supercross, I'm going to unfollow him.
Yeah, he even went and took photos of it to use on our Instagram. Yeah,
stop it, Mitch. Stop it, Mitch.
Yeah, he is stoked. Yeah, kind of like Indy. If you haven't been to Pittsburgh in a long time, you might think, Pittsburgh. But no, they've really got it dialed. And honestly, I moved to the Morganton area 20-plus years ago. Pittsburgh was even cool then. So this isn't even new. But they figured out. Stadium has an awesome view. And I've heard, like, kind of like last year with Philly, I'm like, is this really going to work out? I feel like if you haven't been there in a long time, that probably means it's not. You know, if it was going to be a great idea, you would have done it a long time ago, but they hadn't gone to Philly and it worked. And now I'm hearing like the ticket sales are crazy for this Pittsburgh one. That's pent up demand or what? And then we'll just see with these open stadiums. We'll get some weather reports on Tuesday. We'll predict some mutters and then we won't have mutters. Yeah.
Yeah. You're big on that. All right.
Maybe put in some rollers instead of whoops. Let's just do it now. Let's just rollers in.
Yeah. Just start it now.
Let's do it now. Build a mud track. Yep.
Penultimate round, Denver. We're going back to Denver. It's a downtown stadium. It's nice. It's where the Broncos play. The dirt is terrible, and the elevation, which saps the horsepower of the bikes, and you add in the dry, hard-packed dirt, this doesn't ever produce great racing, JT. Denver.
Well, I don't know that it – I thought last year was pretty good. Hunter and Jet in the mix for a long time. Like, I didn't think that was a bad race, but it is tricky. You know, the 250 main – last year specifically, watch Kitchen and RJ, they just couldn't close any time on each other, and Shimoda was out front. They couldn't do anything about it. And it was like this battle you were waiting to have unfold the whole time. But outside of that aspect, I actually love this event. I think the weather turning in Colorado, there's something about that. I like the everything around this, like downtown, you can scooter over to the event. You don't even have to drive. Like, I've done that several times now. It is one of my favorite events, and that's okay if it's not for other people, but this is one that is absolutely one of my favorite on the calendar because of city, weather, time of the year.
Denver, one of your favorites.
Denver is one of my favorites, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm okay if anybody's not.
I didn't have that on my bingo card.
But for me, it is.
Yeah, this is tough to decide, though, because I feel like you both make points. Like, as far as the racing itself is concerned, just because of that dirt, it's kind of lacking. But yeah, other stuff is great. So what are you looking for, as a fan?
And elevation too affects it when you talk to the riders, right? They it affects them physically, and then it affects their motorcycles. So, JT's right. Outside of the racing, it's a cool area. The Broncos are terrible, and they suck, and I feel greasy when I go there.
But you could also point to the time of the season that the racing's not as great. Like, a lot of guys have packed it in by the second to last round. So I don't think it's all like, oh, the dirt sucks. Like, the dirt's not that bad. Like, it's like Anaheim. It's not that terrible, in my opinion. But I think if you're looking for a cool event to go to where there's a lot of upside to it, I think Denver should be on the list.
Pits are cool. Access to all that. Airport's far. And you want to Google? Hey, if you want to Google some like weirdo shit, Google Denver Airport conspiracy.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
I don't know. It's weird.
It is weird.
Yeah.
So, anyways, airport's far.
But you should be raving about how easy this one is for you because Denver and United, and you should be easy to fly there.
It is, but it's far from the airport to the hotels and all that. But staying downtown is nice.
From the airport hotels, I scootered from my hotel back and forth.
No, I'm saying like the hotels downtown are nice. So it's all good there. I stayed downtown. I don't go by the airport. Denver, catch the fever. Just the shitty Broncos are there. So as a Raider fan.
Is that why you don't like it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because that would be stupid.
Press box is good. Access is good. Like I said, all that. It's just like what we said. It's really everything about this event is good, and then the track and the elevation and the dirt doesn't always jive with a great event. People love Eli Tomac, of course, which is kind of cool. Like when Eli took the lead there last year.
Yeah.
When he won the
heat
race.
He was there last year, but he didn't.
Yes.
He didn't do very well. His thumb was jacked.
Right. All right, and the final round, Salt Lake City. Weege?
Oh, going to me first?
Sure.
Is there something, are you setting me up for something I'm not aware of?
No, I went to you first a few rounds ago.
Yeah, Salt Lake is really good, but we know it's under the specter of it will always pale as a finale in comparison to Vegas. But until we can, I mean, we can't get into the stadium in Vegas. It's just not even an option. But having a season finale in Vegas seems right. They tried to rectify it a bit by putting the SMX finale there. I know Utah's not party zone like Vegas was. The stadium, it's a college stadium. The view out of the stadium is just absolutely spectacular. The mountains are cool. You can see all the way through the whole pits and parking lot on the other side. But the state itself, it's a college football stadium. And not, you know, the Utah Utes are good, but this isn't Happy Valley or Death Valley or any of these famous venues. It's okay. Stadium's okay. City's probably better than you think. But I really think the only way you can take this one, dirt's all right, track's all right, nothing about it is great. But if you turn it into a trip and you get to mountain bike or hike or enjoy the outdoors of Utah, now you've got something really good. So it depends on what you want to make of it.
Yeah, this to me, JT, is just a meh. Meh. Yeah.
Well, I think to end the series, it is a meh. That to me is the only part of it. I like that it's similar to Denver in a lot of ways. It's springtime, it's outdoor, you can bicycle. The kind of everything like is coming back to life after winter, that time of the world or that part of the world. So I like a lot of that. It's not far. You could scooter. I've scootered from the hotel, downtown hotels to the track. No big deal. Nice restaurants downtown, no traffic. There's a lot to like about it. I just don't think it's the best setting for the finale. It's a little underwhelming for a finale.
Yeah, they've improved the stadium a little bit. Press box is nice. Great. So Sean Brennan at Feld gets us pizza every year. Great pizza. Great pizza, wherever he gets it from. This is also the site, Weege, of our media dinner last year. Nice restaurant we went to, so that was nice.
That's right.
Yeah, other than that, like I put Salt Lake on the level of Denver. I put it on, say, Foxborough. Not bad. Not great. You know, moving on. That's kind of how I put it.
Yeah, although you could, we all learned this with the 7 races during COVID. You could really make a fun week trip out of this,
yes.
Where I do not think you would do that with Foxborough.
Good point. Yeah, if you grab your bicycle or rent a bicycle and, do all the surrounding areas.
The race itself, it's only okay. And again, I think if it was round 12, it would be awesome. But yeah, it's always going to be in the shadow of Sam Boyd.
So if you could pick any schedule, any race on the series right now to be the finale, so you can't add Vegas. We all agree the Allegiant would be great.
Eventually, I think we're going to get there. I do.
The stadium, the Allegiant Stadium is so amazing and so awesome, and then it's got a title sponsor of Allegiant Airlines.
Yeah.
It's a very paradox thing. Which round?
But it is the Raiders, so that kind of
okay, fair.
Commitment to excellence there. Yeah.
Commitment to excellence with Allegiant Airlines.
Allegiant, for sure.
All right, what should be the finale? I'm going to go New York because the stadium's fine, the dirt's fine.
I mean, Vegas should be
yeah,
the
I'm
finale.
Saying, but on
but
the,
I think it, I think eventually we may have that again.
Question was, out of the rounds we have now,
okay,
where should be the finale? I'll go New York.
Yeah, I'm with you. I had never thought of this until 1 minute ago, but yeah, you could really make something out of that.
Yeah.
I could go remove A2. Put Anaheim at bookends.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Yeah. See, now.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That would be nice. That wouldn't happen either because of Feld rents Anaheim Stadium, right, for Monster Jams and Supercross for
they
the month.
Rent it?
So.
Why not?
No, I know, but right now.
Yeah, and by that, now you're into baseball season.
But it would work.
It's really good concept. Yeah.
It would work with, you know, the opening round of the Motocross Series coming up. You know, you'd be on the west side, so Anaheim would work that way. Where it wouldn't. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's a recap of the 2025 Supercross Series from all angles. All angles. Press box, pizza, hotels, airports. you know, everything.
Don't count out Daytona.
The majority of the angles are specifically Steve's angles, though.
Yes.
That is not true.
That is true.
That is
things
not true.
That mostly only affect him.
It's 100%
true. The press box experience is like irrelevant for 97% of the audience. Right?
Well, whatever, man. I'm still going to comment on it. listen, and as JT said, Daytona's 12th out of 17th. 12th out of 17th rounds ranking.
Move it up.
So what's the best round? JT, you sound like Denver might be your best round.
The best round. I said A1. We all said A1.
Yeah, I guess outside, just because that's all the on-track.
Probably Glendale.
Stuff. Glendale? Yeah. Weej?
Sheesh. Yeah, I never thought of it in that context. I'll just go New Jersey because that's where I'm from. Yep. Best race.
All right. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. That's where we met the Doink the Clown.
Oh, yeah, the 2017 volumes have been written and will continue to be written on the weirdo Tomac race, the Marv pulling over for Dunge, and the greatest set of semis LCQs in the history.
Yeah. Just made a mistake.
Yeah, the LCQs, unbelievable.
Oh, sorry. You're right, JT. Marv just made a mistake. Yeah.
Just blew that corner.
All right, everybody. That's
one of the best races, one of the most memorable Supercrosses ever. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, I hope we helped you people if you're trying to decide where to go. For the 2025 Monster Energy Supercross Series. We hope we helped. I don't know. We may have. We may not have. But thanks to Fly Racing, of course, for coming on board. As always, Maxxis, motorsport.com, Renthal as well. Weej, JT, thanks, boys.
See you guys.
See ya.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners.